for public use.
Interesting. So tell me the premise of the program itself.
Well, a little history about it is the fact that the county started to realize there are quite a few people that have special needs during emergencies. They've either wandered away from their home or from their care facility or their families, and there was a marked increase in those people. And so the sheriffs were thinking, how can we kind of get ahead of this and have a tool to implement that'll help the officers and the search and rescue locate these people in a shorter period of time?
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the baseline of the whole thing.
And what we find with these searches is anytime a family member reports someone missing, the information that they have is sometimes not up to date. We're going by a driver's license or a Polaroid from 1974.
Right.
So it's really hard to be like, okay, well, what were they wearing? What kind of shoes? What are their communicative type of capabilities? Are they combative? Or are they autistic? So all these little details, they may not seem important at the time when you're interviewing these family members, are extremely important to search and rescue. It could give us a point of direction. It could give us, well, okay, actually an area to search too, could narrow that down, which now can save us a tremendous amount of time, especially when a life is on the line.
All those details that Jessica said, that's what the officer, deputy officer, is out there on scene trying to extract all that information from the families. And that's where we got... jump ahead. We got that leap ahead because we already have that information in this database, and that's what got created, was a huge database by the Information Technology Department.
Is this a program that's been going on for a while, or is it brand new? Because a lot of times Anita, the PIO, will put out, this person's missing, there's a silver alert, this sort of, and 40 minutes later, the person is found. It seems like it's already been in effect, or something's going right, because a lot of people are, you know, come up missing saying Kingman, Bullhead, Havasu, and then boom, you get the press release. Nope, they've been found. So what's going on with that? Is this something that's been ongoing then?
In the sheriff's office, yes. They've always been really good with social media to get that out there.
They really have.
Yeah, very, very good. And it does help. We get a lot of information, maybe tips from other people that see those posts, and they'll come by our CP or just find one of our bright orange people and say, hey, I may have seen this person over there. So that does speed things up. This program is its own setup to where we can pre-register people that are at risk. And
right.
Jessica will be able to fill you in a little bit more on how that's going to work.
Is that information private?
Yes, it's only in-house for the sheriff's office to see. And the only time we'll even search and rescue searchers, the only time we're going to see that information is when the sheriff implements that search, and then he'll give us that profile. And so, and it's just a way to expedite a search. And like we said before, that way we have the height, the picture, the, you know, all these little details, shoes, or just even, I mean, there's even a spot. It's a 1-2-3 system. So there's like step 3 has more finer details in there. And it's just, it's free for the community. And it's just, so if you have a dependent that's a high risk, prone to wander, or a juvenile or a child, you know, they're like, hey, sometimes they take off. This would be a great program to enter them, you know, just to have that information there. It's not given out to anyone. It's just to help in case. It's just
right.
A backup plan to have.
Yeah, years ago there was a big push for child find kits,
yeah.
You know, and this is something that could be a big push for the elderly too.
That's what this isn't just specific to elderly either. It's
oh.
All ages. It's people that suffer from autism or dementia or even have brain injuries. And so what the program tries to do is extract as much information we can prior to a response.
Is this something, when somebody comes up missing, is that does that automatically warrant a response to call 911?
Yes. Yeah, they must call 911 for us to be able to get dispatched. So it has to go through our two sheriff bosses that we have before it gets sent down to the volunteers. So they will do some research prior to calling us, of course. Contact the family or relatives, whatever, and then that information gets passed down to us at the local level, and we deploy.
Yeah, then you have another factor, right, with the summer coming, the heat. That's got to present a lot of problems.
Yeah, it's very dangerous for us and the people. It just happens way too often. You hear about it in the Sarah Park hiking area every summer. We have a lot of injured people down there. There are nice giant billboard signs that the Firefighter Association put up down there. And we watch people walk right past those with one bottle of water and disregard that. So a lot of water, a lot of water.
Right, right, right. How do people register for this program?
The Take Me Home program, you have to log on to the site, and that's, I'll actually read it. It's the takemehome.mojave.gov. And once they go onto that, and they can do it with their cell phone, or they can do it with a pad, either one, those are easiest. And they go on there, and there's just three simple steps. They go in and log initially. Once they make that contact, then the county sends them back a verification, and then they can further proceed with the sign up after that. And it's very, and another thing is the only people that can do that are the loved ones, the family, or a legal guardian. No one else is able to do that. They won't accept anyone else's input.
Do you guys know if this program is unique to this part of the state with Mojave County Search and Rescue, or are other search and rescue units using this?
That I'm not sure of.
Jim. The Take Me Home, this one's it's unique just for the Mojave. So it was copied from Pensacola, but it's not a universal system where everyone could log in. So this one is just internal for us. Other searchers, I know that there's different areas that have similar programs implemented for the area, but it's just unique for Mojave County.
Now, are all the search and rescue units in Mojave County on board with this then?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, each unit, like Dave was saying, either Bullhead, Kingman, the unit up above the canyon, and us. And yeah, they're all familiar. And that's what we're trying to do with this presentation with you today, is trying to communicate that to the community as best we can. We go to, well, churches. We'll go to the some of the Elks, Eagles.
Sure.
Those
school
organizations.
District. It's approved through the school district. So if anyone is listening and has a child in the school district that could meet this criteria to be part of this program, it is approved. And you can reach out to the schools, and they do have brochures there and a step on how to get your dependent registered.
Is there a case or an instance where Havasu Search and Rescue would go to Bullhead to help, to assist there, or Kingman? Can you think of any time recently that's happened?
Yeah, all the time.
Really?
It's all the time. Because we are volunteers, not everybody can go. So there's about 140 members throughout the county. But at any given time, maybe in the Havasu unit, if we get a call out right now, we might get 6 to 10 people. If the search goes into longer periods, overnight, whatever else, we're only supposed to search and track or whatever for X amount of hours, we will definitely call the other units. So they will rotate people in and out. Real big searches, all the units come and help at the same time.
Right. Where do you get your funding?
It's all donations.
All donations.
There's nothing paid for to the searchers except for the gas on a mission, and the state reimburses us for that. Our vehicles, our equipment, everything else is fundraising. Each unit is in charge of their own fundraising. So it's an ongoing process for our rope gear and Swiftwater gear and stuff like that. So
you guys all have real jobs?
I do, yes.
Yes. No, I'm retired.
Okay. I kind of thought maybe.
I have two kids at home.
Two kids at home? Okay. So. Perfect. Is there a cost to the Take Me Home program?
None. No. Only a requirement of them is once they've signed the loved one up, there is a need for them to update the information. If they get a more recent photo or something, maybe the level of consciousness.
Different hair color would actually be a pretty relevant one too.
What's that?
A different hair color, you know, they dye their hair. I mean, we could be looking for one person, but they look totally different with the hairstyle.
Right.
So that's minor details that make a huge difference in a search.
Oh yeah, sure. Absolutely. Is there any advice you would give families with an autistic person or say a person with dementia, to best keep their loved one safe at home? Maybe like the double, doorknobs or, you know, how do you keep people from wandering?
That's a huge challenge. The example you gave, yes, I do know they do that in some,
the double doorknobs?
Younger children's things.
The high-low, like in a pool area.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
And you make sure that everyone's aware, the family and even the neighbors that are aware of a child's, potential to travel.
It could be a real challenge. I know personally a caregiver who that happened to. They're just watching TV in another room, and all of a sudden you go check on that person and they're gone. But they didn't wander far. But still, even though they're 2-3 doors down, sitting on a porch or whatever, it still took 45 minutes to locate that person. Yeah. It could be a very excruciating process.
Yeah, we have a lot of searches where we don't know what time the person actually walked away. So we may be 2 hours, 3 hours behind schedule. So now we have to play catch up.
Right.
And that's pretty rough.
Okay, so if people want to volunteer for search and rescue, what do they need to be ready for as far as background check or that sort of thing?
There is a background check mandatory. It's run through the sheriff, through DPS. Once we get that back, they have to attend certain meetings, 3 meetings in a row. We do require, the whole state requires what we call the academy, and it's a 2-day event where they get taught a lot of the search and rescue techniques. Then we have an advanced academy now, where we get a lot more in-depth on some of the extra things we do in search and rescue with ropes or swift water or tracking. Hey, we do a lot of tracking.
You guys do a lot of training.
Yes, we do.
I follow that in the Bee.
Yeah.
The Bee.com or the Bee.news, I'm sorry.
Yes.
They do follow you quite a bit when it comes to training and that sort of thing. Is there an ideal candidate that you're looking for, the stereotypical search and rescue person?
Just somebody that would like to give their time. You know, we get a lot of people that will join and they think it's a great idea. They need to know their limitations. We are, you know, we do live in a very hot climate, so they need to be able to hike and stuff in that heat. But everybody can get a job. I mean, we may just have somebody that's possibly injured right now in the unit or something that they can do perimeter in their vehicle and stuff. So we generally can find jobs for everybody, and we welcome pretty much anybody.
Ever any conflicts with your employer?
That's myself.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah. I haven't fired myself yet.
That helps quite a bit. Perfect. How can people get in touch with somebody if they want to volunteer for search and rescue or be screened or go through that whole process?
The sheriff's website, and I believe it's on our flyers, is it not? Is the best way.
You can go through this, to get there, you can go through the sheriff's Facebook page.
Yes,
also,
exactly.
Which is super easy to find.
Yep.
And then you guys have your own Facebook, correct?
No, we run everything through the sheriff. So it's just one. Yeah, because the PIO has to approve everything that gets put out there.
And what about the Take Me Home program? Is there a special number for that, or do they just go to the Take Me Home?
Take Me Home.
Mojave.
Gov.
Yeah, that would be the best. There is a number on the bottom.
Of the brochure?
Yeah, at the bottom of the brochure, and you can find these out through town. That number is 928-753-0753, and they'll put you in the Kingman office for the Take Me Home.
I'm thinking Jessica's your administrative person.
She's pretty good.
I'm not trying to stereotype. I'm just saying.
No, you're fine.
She seemed to be pretty organized.
Yeah,
so.
Yes, she is.
Anyway, yeah, and we have those brochures here at the KNTR Talk or Radio Central Studios. So anything that we missed that you want to get out there?
Just if people get lost, please call us, 911.
911.
Search and rescue is free. There is no fees for that. We work a lot with DPS helicopters, so we have a lot of resources at our disposal. So people sometimes say they don't want to call. They're afraid they're going to get charged for whatever reason, and it's not the case.
You really do have a lot of resources when it comes to finding people or helping people. I know somebody who's no longer with us now, but was lost down by Cattail Cove and or ran out of gas or something. You guys, he's a Boy Scout anyway, stood by the vehicle and waited for you guys, and you found him.
Yeah.
So just a little bit lost. So anyway, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
We appreciate all you do for the community, for the county. And again, if you want to register for the Take Me Home program, it's takemehome.mojave.gov. I'll be back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On tomorrow's show, let's see, what is today? Oh, today's Tuesday. Tomorrow's the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show with Dan De Los Santos. Coming up next is the Sean Hannity Show, Karate Man himself, after news and a short break. And on Speak Out 2.0 tomorrow, Amber Morgan from Amber's Bake Shop and Norm Finkelstein talking about Vietnam War and D.C., the Vietnam War Memorial. All right, we'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.